As the daughter of Indian immigrants, I was conditioned from birth to be the white woman ideal. Sometimes the language was overt. No, you can't go to the pool. You'll get dark. Or Preeti is pretty, so fair. But more often than not, it was coded. Assimilate. Be more American. Of course we knew assimilation in American meant white, not black. Even before my parents arrived in the U.S., they knew the drill. White people at the top, black people at the bottom, and they'd fall somewhere in the middle. How did they know? American television, films, and books are exported around the world. Our white supremacy is broadcast to London, Dubai, Delhi, Buenos Aires, Johannesburg, and everywhere in between. In the case of India, my parents were born into British colonialism. Even before they consumed American media, they knew firsthand that whiteness was king and queen. Thanks to the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, my parents were able to leave their homeland, ravaged by the British, and seek out the American dream. The Immigration Act was made possible by the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which was passed thanks to the tireless work of Black people. While they were able to come to America on the backs of Black folks, once my parents got here, they worked hard to stay as far away from those same Black folks as they possibly could. Because they knew. The American dream requires assimilation. Assimilation to whiteness. We, of course, can never be white, but we do the next best thing. We work our butts off to be as close to white as possible. This requires us to be as close to perfect as one can get. Better than those around us, even better than our white peers. Better at school, better at work, better at sports, better at charm, better at cooking, cleaning, baking, breathing. It should be noted that our actions as South Asian immigrants embody anti-Black racism. Our assimilation requires us to be as anti-Black as we are pro-white. It requires not only a rejection of Black people, but also a rejection of ourselves, our own brown skin, our culture. All in a desperate, impossible quest to cozy up to whiteness. This is called self-loathing or internalized oppression. Internalized oppression is required to assimilate, to become American, to become white. The con, of course, is we are never white, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we believe otherwise. And boy, did I try, and even believe. It was with this deeply held belief that I wrapped myself into my prettiest Laura Ashley dress, the one with white lilies on it, and shoved pearl earrings through my earlobes, a particularly painful act of self-loathing, as I knew my ears would be infected within the hour. It was a cool Charlottesville night, second semester of my first year at the University of Virginia. My hallmates, all white, and I set out together for the most time-honored of UVA traditions, sorority rush. Even now, decades later, I can remember praying that I'd make it, that one of the prestige houses, Tri Delta or Theta or Kappa Kappa Gamma, would accept me, warts and all. The proverbial warts being my brown skin. It was with a profound sense of purpose and hope that I set out with legions of other young women down Rugby Road, the central nervous system of UVA's Greek life. What a sight to behold. Young white woman upon young white woman with the errant Latina, Asian, or Black woman. Every hair was in place, every dress on point. Same with our jewelry and makeup. Perfect. It never occurred to me to even consider rushing the Black sororities. They were so foreign, so other, so lesser. They may as well have been non-existent. There were no Asian sororities, and even if there had been, I wouldn't have rushed those either. Being Asian was lesser than white. I was going for the gold. I was going for the white. We arrived in groups, giggling to assuage our nerves. A few women bragged about being legacies, how their mothers, grandmothers, and aunts were Kappas or Thetas here, or Pi Phis or Tri Deltas there. There was no such thing in India, so I did what I always did in such situations. I smiled and nodded, happy to celebrate the advantages of my white peers. House after house after house was the same. A sea of white faces, singing, dancing, welcoming us with donuts, cookies, and hot chocolate, while whispering to a select few blondes and brunettes about joining them at fraternity parties later on for real drinks. I cracked my best jokes, laughed heartily at theirs, I hugged hard and often. I sang along loudly. It was like I was auditioning for a Broadway chorus line.